first, well, not the first one, but it's the rare video where we don't really have a set Bible verse either. So this will be interesting.
Well, I just thought you just brought that to my collection, man. I wasn't even thinking about that.
I don't know. We'll see. It'll be more topical. I don't know. I think it's going to be more raw for sure. I'm curious to see where this goes.
Okay. But like, yeah, hey, everybody. Just like Justin said, we got a really interesting video for you guys today. All right. So I'm going to just go ahead and get to it, and then I'll tell you guys about everything we had going on social media or whatever, with all the videos that we do. I'm Sean Christopher Jenkins. This is my guy, Justin Lee Howell. We do videos all the time on YouTube, just like this. We do it weekly. Unless life gets in the way and we can't do it. But we still come back with you with another one and then another one and then another one. So we got another one for you guys today. All right. So today I titled this video. Can you see the title, Justin? How to show others you have.
Oh, you are
show others you're really sorry, right? So I should have titled it that. But how you show others you are sorry, right? How do you show others really that you're good, right? Yeah. How do you show others you're apologetic about something? How do you show others you're remorseful? So that's what we're talking about today. And so this topic came about from this book I have to read from seminary. So just in case you didn't know, I just started seminary school. I'm in my first semester. It is amazing. I'm at a school called Colgate Rochester Kozar Divinity School. It's in Charlotte, North Carolina. Rochester, New York. Sorry, Rochester, New York. All right. I just used to live in Charlotte, North Carolina, but whatever. And it's getting late. I'm getting tired. But anyways. So it's in Rochester, New York. No, I'm not in New York. I don't live in New York. I'm doing it remote because I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, not Juliet, Tennessee, to be more technical. But anyways, this is the book that we're reading. It's a book on forgiveness and alternate account by Matthew Hitchahashi Potts. Wow, I pronounced that pretty good. All right. So, so in this book, there was a lot. First of all, this book's hard to read only because is so good that I keep on highlighting, writing, and taking notes on everything I read. So, like, hopefully Justin gets the book, and, like, we could just do a whole video on everything that Matthew Hitchahashi Potts said on this forgiveness book. So you guys should totally get it and read it. It's really good. Because, I mean, as you guys know, on my YouTube channel, Upload Past Crossroads, we do a whole lot of videos, me and Justin. And one series we have going is, you know, forgiving them. Yeah. Oh, I guess we got so many, but yeah, forgiving others, forgiving them, bitterness, resentment. So we did a lot of videos just on that topic. And then also we done videos on, you know, God's forgiveness, forgiveness of sins and stuff like that. But this video is probably more tailored towards, you know, forgiving yourself, you know, stop living in the past of, you know, the past hurt that you probably put on somebody else. You have to learn how to, you know, all of us, we have to learn how to forgive others, and we have to learn how to forgive ourselves, just like God does for all of us, right? So, all right, yeah, so that's a good, like, little start of the video. But let's go ahead and get to it. So one of the things that we read in this book was basically how, you know, how you act shows your character, right? And then, you know, what you do on the out, and you know, your actions reveal your truth. And not only that, just what you do on a day-to-day basis shows your heart, right?
Like, I speak 1,000 words. Yeah,
so actions speak louder than words. So one of the things that really got me with what this Matthew Hitchahashi Potts guy said, you know, he basically talked about how, like, I'm gonna read it so you guys see it too. I would show it, but I know, like, that's copyright a little bit, so I'm not gonna fall for that. But yeah, one of the things that Matthew Hitchahashi Potts says, he said, all we have are external signs that we have been culturally agreed upon as good currency for our interior experience, right? I mean, yeah, for our interior experience. So that's just saying, like, with our interior experience, right? With our hearts, our motives, our intentions. Like, who can know the heart? Who can know what somebody else's intentions and motives are? You don't know anybody's heart. Matter of fact, you don't even know your own heart, really, right? You know how you feel, but you don't know, like, how you really feel, what's really inside. Only God knows the heart. The heart is deceitful. It's above our understanding. It's above our pay grade. Who can know it? That's what the Bible, right? But what tells what's in your heart? You know, it's just like what Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what is your treasure? It's what you do on a day-to-day basis. It's what your actions, you know, speak louder than your words. You can say you love the Lord. You can say, you know, you're sorry for something. You're repenting of something. But if your actions, if your actions doesn't show that truth, that you say that's truth for you, it's not truth for you, right? That's not in your heart. So, like, this book is talking about forgiveness. So, like, just from the topic for today's video, because there's a lot of directions we can go in, but for the topic of today's video, like, if you ever offended somebody, if you ever hurt somebody, if you want to show somebody that you're truly repentant of what you have done, then your actions have to speak for them, for you know, what you say that you're sorry for, what you're remorseful for, because that's good currency. That's a good value. That's good money. That's what he says. And good currency equals good works, right? That's something you can cash to the bank. Like, I love how the author used money as an analogy of that. It has value. Money has value, but not everything on earth has value. Does crap have value? No. Crap doesn't even have value from Donald Trump or like Beyonce. Even nobody would pay money and put their crap in a museum. What's it called? Like manure. I don't know what it's called, but like fertilizer or something like that. I'm trying to find a term for like, you know, turd, but whatever, you guys get what I'm saying. But it has no value, right? So like, yeah, Justin, I'll let you go, man. But it's all about being authentic, being sincere. Like, this is what this author's talking about. Like, if you're not authentic, if you're not sincere in your repentance, that's what it is. You're truly repenting every single day through your action. Then what you're saying doesn't, yeah. Talk doesn't mean anything. Talk is cheap.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, because like the book, and I've only read a couple of pages of the book. I definitely need to get it sometime from that author. I feel like Sean keeps saying the author's name just to show off how well he can say the name. But or he's advertising. He's getting paid by him. But like he does have a really good point. Like, it's sometimes we act like we forgive to like pat ourselves on the back or to be more righteous. So it's very difficult to like show like how authentic someone is, or how are they sincere? And he goes into some areas that I honestly need to think about, something I'm not too sure I agree upon. But something I do agree upon is like, there does need to be ways to authenticate that or make sure it's sincere. And as Sean said, a lot of it is through our actions. The Bible even says like, faith without works are like dirty rags. Like it's so easy to say you believe in God, but then turn around and like go partying or drinking or do other things that doesn't show that you're obedient to God or that you truly love like the commandments that God has given you to take care of yourself. And that's the same with forgiveness as well. Forgiving somebody. Mm-hmm. Like if you say you forgive someone, but then you like react with bitterness or anger or hatred at anything they do, that's obvious that you're not operating out of a place of forgiveness. But and like that's a or if you bring up an issue from someone's past like over and over, that's kind of obvious that they haven't forgiven you either. Like that's when I went to some marriage classes with my wife, like part of the thing they said is like, don't keep score. Don't bring up past issues. Like, bring stuff up if you want to find ways to improve upon it. But if you're bringing up stuff to like put them down or try to win an argument like that, you might be doing that out of bitterness. Then you're not your actions are not portraying the proper way of forgiveness that you say you are. So as Sean said, like actions definitely speak louder than words for this. Something the book goes further into that, I don't know, like Sean used the analogy of like the coinage as well. Like what can show that you made the proper payment that you've forgiven someone? And something we're going to go into the video. I wish I had the book in front of me so I could like compare. But one of them, it's pretty much like Sean and I are going to move into like two areas. One of them is like, does sincere apology or actions prove your penitence, or does an external, do external actions of like suffering, like do you need to suffer in order to prove that you truly apologize? And I think that's an interesting topic because I feel like the Bible could go either way on either end. But like first and foremost, I do think it requires an inward change of yourself, like an inward to outward change. Like God has already made it very clear that he didn't care about the outward actions of the Pharisees. Like he cared about like how people changed internally, like how their hearts changed, how they were transformed. Like Ezekiel says, like God gives us a new heart in the spirit. Like he wants our hearts to change before we make any outward changes. So I think that will tie in greatly with what we're going to talk about tonight. But Sean, why don't you take it away?
Yeah, like I like how you brought that up because I'm still trying to figure out how he said it. I want to show it. I probably just show it because I wonder what everybody else is thinking. Mm. If anybody will say anything. Yeah. But
I wonder if we could like isolate that quote or something instead of show the copyright book.
I can definitely isolate it. Like, I just need a second. Mm.
Okay. I can keep on talking while you work on that then.
Yeah, just give me 1 second then.
Yeah. And I think, I guess, like, a danger of saying, like, I think there is a danger of saying, like, we need outward suffering to show that we have an inward forgiveness. He was saying, like, it's only through the more external suffering you go through means that you have even more inner turmoil, or that you're truly repentant of what you've done. I don't know. That in Leviticus, I guess I'll start with the Bible. In Leviticus, like, if you've ever looked through Leviticus, when someone sinned, there is a long list of things that you have to do to show that you repent. Like you have to get a certain type of ram, you have to like send them out into the field, or you pretty much sacrifice them. And it's like it's a very big ordeal. It's like a very long process. It takes up a good chunk of your day or good chunk of your morning. And plus you like lose a whole ram. So that's like that feeds your family for like a week. So it's like no small task. So that kind of shows that you're truly repentant. But at the same time, I feel like people can just go through the motions of that as well. Like Jesus came to abolish that old law because it was seen that Pharisees and other people could easily follow the law without really meaning it. So like I guess I could sacrifice a ram every so often if it makes me feel better. But like that's not my problem with like having an outward penitence is like maybe you're shilling your inward change. Like you're not really having a heart change to like change your actions from there forth. And I think that would speak more to people. I think people want to be treated better, or they want to see the product of being forgiven more than they want to see like a ram sacrificed or money being donated. Like that's that doesn't necessarily mean that you are sincere with your apology. Maybe that just makes you feel better. So I feel like we could have a lot to say about that.
Yeah, I got the quote written now. So I'm gonna share my screen. All right, so I would show the book. It's all right here, but I'm going to be safe. I mean, I know I could probably do it because who's going to look at my video anyways, but let's just be safe. All right. So Matthew Ishihashi Pot said this. He made this quote. So this is what I'm trying to divide right here. I'm trying to figure out how did he split this part up. So help me out. So he said the debt metaphor has shifted slightly here. So the metaphor he's talking about is what we've been saying. So basically from this whole entire section, he's saying like, we can tell if you have truly forgiven somebody by your actions, by what you do, right? By your behavior. But he was talking about how like, he used the word penitence. So like, he was debating between and everybody does it. The debate, like, can you do penance? So, like, can you suffer yourself, like, cost yourself to be in pain and cost yourself to suffer, like, just hurt yourself in order to show that you're sorry? Is that one way to really show and prove that you're repentant? Or is it the other way, which is through your actions, through your behavior? And that's pretty much what me and Justin are focusing in on. Like, obviously, we believe in that one.
You worded that, yeah. You worded that much better than me.
Oh,
I did a job with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what he's trying to say here, so everybody can see it. So, like he said, the death metaphor has shifted slightly here. He said from pain as a form of payment, which is what he was talking about earlier before this section, where we're at now. And now he's talking about, you know, penance or remorsefulness as a valid currency, which is why, I don't know why he used penance here. So that's why, like, I'm like, why, you know, does the penance go with the form, the from pain as a form of payment to penance? Like, I think that's one statement. You know what I'm saying, Justin? Like, mm-hmm. Let me divide it. So I think this is one statement. So this is the first one. And then this part is the second one.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But what do you think? Yeah, you think so too?
That's how I was reading it, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I also, yeah. I see what you were talking about before, how it could be the way. But yeah, I think that's what he was aiming for. Like, one is like showing pain as a payment.
Right.
And then the other one is like true, like an inward sincerity or inward remorsefulness.
Mm-hmm.
Payment.
Yeah, and that's the question, guys. Like, the question for the video is, how do you show somebody that you're truly sorry? How do you show somebody you're truly remorseful? Like, is it through penance, through suffering, through, I mean, it could be like the death penalty or something like that. Like, does that answer and does that, you know, does that heal people? Like, yeah. No, like, oh, go ahead, Justin.
Oh, no. I was just agreeing with you. Yeah, like, that is true. Like, the death penalty, does that, would that really like solve anything? Or would that like, I guess I don't want to say that because I don't want to turn this into that kind of debate. But yeah, like ending your, if you do something bad and you end your life, does that like, that adds like no more positive, that adds no more positive outcome to the situation. But if you like, if you've done something bad and you try to atone for it, then that's already so much better than just like, killing yourself off or ending the cycle, because at least you're trying to make up for it a little bit. And right. I think that metaphor is very interesting. And like, or like what Sean said, like, would the death penalty make anyone feel better? And it's like, you actually look at country, like the US is actually super big on their justice is seeing someone suffer or seeing someone pay. But like that doesn't bring down the criminal activity at all. For some other countries, their main goal is rehabilitation. So when they have all these programs where if they catch a criminal, what they try to do is reform them to put them back into society. And you actually see like a decrease in criminal activity. So I guess I'm using that as an analogy as for like, which would you rather see? Would you rather see someone suffer and like not really get any positive gain to the situation? Or do you want to see that person change for the better so they can like atone or contribute back to society? Like what do you think would have a better outcome?
Right. And that's go ahead. You done?
Yeah, you go ahead. I'll save it for later.
No, go ahead, man. You're on fire. Just
oh, no. I guess I would like to say like part of the book was saying like, and this goes into another video idea Sean and I Sean had is like, is forgiveness like a two-way street? Like, do both people need to agree on the forgiveness for that transaction to happen? And that's its own whole other conversation or whole other video. But like something the book was saying as well is like, whatever the person who's trying to repent or pay penance for needs to do is gain the acceptance from the community or gain acceptance from the person who is wronged. So the community or the person wronged have to agree on that as well. Mm-hmm. So that one is tough too, because like, who's to say, I guess, if the person being wronged, if you're just trying to make them feel better, they might just be out for revenge. They may be out for their own justice. And that could be detrimental to someone as well. Because like a lot of times, as I said, for the U.S. system, sometimes we just want to see people suffer or get thrown into jail. And I don't think that's a very good outcome. So that does make me wonder, like, is forgiveness really a two-way street? Does forgiveness really depend on the other person agreeing, like how much they paid for something? Because like it could vary from person to person. That does make it very hard. So I don't know. I guess I just asked more questions than I answered.
Yeah, you got me writing something else because I went with what you said. Mm. Yeah, I'm about to show it right now.
Okay.
Yeah, good thing I type fast. It would be awful.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Slow typer. Let me finish writing this real quick. Just writing his name.
I think you have an extra is in there. What is required is... Oh, okay. No, maybe that's right.
Okay, yeah. So that was what you said.
I think that's what I was trying to point out. Like, we have to know, like, we have to find a good system to figure out, like, how is someone truly forgiven?
Mm-hmm. And the only good system is through works. Like, works is good money. So, like, what is required to know whether the repentance is good money? No inauthentic, no hypocritical, but indeed true. What is required? Who can know that? Like, only God knows that, and he proves it through repentance. What is repentance? Like, you can't just say you repent of something and then you keep on doing it. Like, you can't say you're sorry for something, but you keep on acting in the same way you just apologized for. So how do you show other people that you're sorry? That's the first thing you do. You don't repeat the same offense again. Right. And then you show through action that you're a changed person, that you're renewed. Like, you literally just you show your new creature. Right. And so I was talking with Justin before the video. The perfect example of this is Paul. Like, I was talking with Terry whenever I did a video with him. Was that yesterday or 2 days ago?
2 days ago.
All right. Yeah. Friday. Yeah, you're right. And so we were talking about what was the thorn in Paul's side. Like, people be saying, you know, it's his eyesight. Like, they be saying some stuff like, man, y'all ain't read Paul's story. Like, just think about stuff from Paul's perspective. Like, if he was the MVP, most valuable player, like the top dog of killing Christians, persecuting Christians, and when God told some of them, like, hey, I want you to go pick up Paul, and they were terrified. What does that say about Paul? Like, and then he said, are you sure? Like, why him? He murdered us. He killed us. And if you thought that, only they thought that, you're crazy. Like, people don't forgive easily. Matter of fact, I don't think people are forgiving people anyways. Majority of people, right? When you make one mistake in this life, you will always have that label in your life. So how do you think Christians took Paul for all his life? If the majority of his life, I don't even know if it was the majority, but like, it was a good portion of his life, he killed them, persecuted them, caused fear, like, to serve Jesus. Now they're hearing, oh man, he loves the Lord. Like, he just made a new church in Asia Minor. He just made a new church in Corinthians. He just made a new church in Corinth. He made a new church in Galatia. Like, he done did a lot of the work for God. But no matter how much work he did, they always thought it was fake and not authentic. Mm. That was a thorn in his side, more than likely, right? Everybody's scared of him, don't want to work with him. Because I know, yeah, some people started working with him. Like, obviously, you see that in the text. But come on, you think everybody worked with Paul? Like, no, like, And so, man, Paul had to show on a daily basis, like, through his works, mm-hmm. through his action, like, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. right? And it wasn't something that just went away. Like, no, this was a thorn in his side. It was something that was constant that he had to show on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So he couldn't operate from this. Paul, he didn't have a choice. Like, he didn't have a choice but to be repentant. But to continually show, like, you know, what do you want me to do? What can I show you? Right? That is one heck of a life, right? Like that's a huge, what do you call it? He said, I have a huge thorn, but he said something else, like, basically, like, his cross. Yes, he suffered. That was his, like, God called him to suffer. That's what Paul said. He said, he called me to suffer. My life is all about suffering. To glorify him, to point to him, to reveal him. And I think this is the way it does it. I mean, this is one of the many ways God does it through Paul, like just showing what does a life look like when you're truly, it's not even you're sorry to the people that you offended. Like at the end of the day, who did you sin against? You sinned against God. Jesus even told him that. Like when he was on the Damascus Road, he said, Paul, you've been persecuting me. You killed me. What? I never killed you, Jesus. I saw you die, but I didn't. It wasn't me. No, mm-hmm. You've been killing my children. You've been killing the people I mm-hmm. love, my people. You've mm-hmm. been not just that. You've been persecuting me, killing me. Mm-hmm. How do you think that made Paul feel every single day of his life? Mm-hmm. He had to do something about it. His actions spoke louder than his words. So, like, mm-hmm. there has to be something more authentic. Like, go ahead, Justin. Let me write this stuff down so we can tear this up, man.
Yeah, I think that, oh, man, I love that analogy. Like, man, I didn't even know that's where you were going with this. That's awesome. But, mm-hmm. yeah, it's like, and that's a good example of, like, that's a good example of, like, maybe forgiveness as a two-way street is not a necessary avenue, because like there were tons of people who didn't forgive Paul. I'm sure, like, Paul made so many relationships and connections, like with the Corinthians or the Philippians and with his new churches, like afterwards. But like with the people who knew him before, I'm sure it was just like going through hell. Like he could never like prove himself, or it took him forever. So it's like, when would you say that Paul was truly forgiven, or he was sincere with his forgiveness? If we set the standard by like what the community decides, or what the people he wronged decides, he may never earn that forgiveness. But if that's the case, then like what about like all the actions, all the atonement that he did afterwards? Like surely that had to mean something. And that's because that was an inward change of his heart. Like that was something that it wasn't just something he was doing to feel good about himself. It wasn't something to pat himself on the back for. It was like an inside out transformation. I think that's what God is looking for. So that's why I think God calls us to forgive. And the book goes a little bit into this as well. Like there's pretty much like there's two points, two timelines or milestones that you reach for forgiveness. The first one is you make a decision to forgive. Like that's the first and foremost. And then the second one is having an overall emotional or mental change to your behavior. And like sometimes it's very easy just to do the first one. Okay, you decide to forgive. But I think God calls us to go beyond that. That forgiveness, like he wants us to forgive, not necessarily to make the other person feel better, although that is biblical to renew the relationships you have with your brothers and sisters that you've wronged. But I do think like God calls us to forgive so we can have that emotional or mental change in our behavior for the best, to lay aside our resentment of somebody, to lay aside like the bitterness that we have in our hearts. Like that's, and as much as I want forgiveness to be a two-way street, as much as it should be a two-way street, I don't think it necessarily needs to be a two-way street to have that emotional or heart-changing moment. And that gets a little muddy, because I won't get into that in case we do another video about it. But like Paul for sure had that heart change. And you could tell by his actions. Like, we never met the guy, but you can, like, no one goes through what Paul did without having a heart change, like a God-given heart change, for sure. Like, his actions spoke louder than anything he could have said to the Jewish people or to the Gentiles. So I guess, like, what I'm trying to say is, for all that, is, like, I don't agree completely with that. The best form of for trying to show forgiveness is suffering or through a physical penance, because that's, I don't think that, one, it might not actually make the other person feel better. Like, we say we want revenge, we say we want vengeance, but, like, all in all, it doesn't actually make anything better. It just adds suffering to the mix. It just adds, like, a big cycle. First, you make someone else suffer. Then you try to apologize to them, and so then you suffer. And that doesn't make anyone feel better, in my opinion. It just creates a vicious cycle. So, yeah, you first and foremost, that's why God wants us to have, like, that mental and emotional breakthrough for our hearts. Because, like, that's what ends the cycle. That is what will show people that you're sincere about something. Mm-hmm. That's not to say some people won't fake it. And you have to, like, that's between them and God. But, like, that's, I think that truly is, like, what God is calling us to do.
Right.
Man, I do like that analogy with Paul, though. Of course, like, you and Terry would come up with something so profound. I like that. I need to watch that video that you guys did Friday.
You got to, because honestly, like, there's so much to say with that. And
yeah.
I want to see what you want, we're going to say on it, because all you got to do is listen to Terry for a little bit, then you got it. So that's what happened with me. I want to piggyback on what you just said, man. Like, there's parts that Matthew Ishihasha Potts, like, covered that it's the quotes, man. The writing, man, was so powerful, man. I like books so much because, like, I like quotes. You can take something that somebody said and, like, it's not just one thing. Like, everybody could read it and get something different from what the person has written. But on top of that, like, it's just, like, a different way, a different perspective of seeing the same thing, right? So it's beautiful because you can see different avenues, different ways, different directions. Just like there's no one direction to get to, like, my house. I mean, there is if you take a road, but if we all walked, there's many directions you could take, right? So, yeah, man, there's not one way to get somewhere. So, like, yeah, let's see some of these quotes. So I want to piggyback on this one again. So this is when Matthew Ishihashi Pot said, you know, the death metaphor has shifted slightly here from pain as a form of payment to penance or remorsefulness as a valid currency. One, a confessor or offended party is obliged to accept. So the question is, which one are they going to accept? Which one is more valuable? Which one is of more value, right? And we've been answering that. So then he said this. He said, but again, like currency, the coinage we trade is best a stand-in for value, right? So just, I wonder what you think about that part. I got to read that again. He said, it is a sign of our agreement that those certain signs will count as currency. So.
Mm-hmm. Stand. Okay. It is a sign.
Okay. So obviously, I know the last part is just talking about, you know, the party that was offended agrees with the payment that was made. So, like, for Paul's example, which is a great example, like, you know, in this is a lot of people are in Paul's situation. Like, they made a huge and horrible mistake in life, and now they're always labeled as that, but now they have to prove to society, like, I'm sorry, I'm remorseful. But honestly, you're always going to be in that state where you have to prove yourself, and that's where he is, what he is talking about, the value of And what really counts is if a person doesn't stop doing that. Like, they keep on showing and proving, like, how remorseful they are by, you know, the way they act and the way they operate. So if they do that consistently on a daily basis for the rest of their lives, obviously they were remorseful. But the minute that they do go back, take back steps and retract and like hurt somebody else in the same way that you said you were sorry and you'll never do again, like, obviously something's wrong, you know? That's so like currency, the coinage we trade is at best a stand-in for value. So like, I want to say, like, basically that part just means, like, whatever you do, you know, whatever you say your value is, whatever you, so basically what you talk, what you say I'm sorry for and all that stuff, like, that's a stand-in value. That doesn't have any value. What really matters and what's your real sign of if you're sorry or repentant and all those things is if how you act. And so this ain't just talking about if you offend somebody. Let's talk about Christians and believers. Like, you know, you say you're repentant of a sin, man. Like, are you showing God through your actions that you're repentant of a sin? And you're really sorry? Because, yeah, like, this is what he's talking about. Like, I want to tie in the other videos that I did before, because, like, I mean, that's so deep. I don't want to go there because I'll just go down a rabbit hole. But yeah, one of the things I wrote down is if you truly repented or forgiven. Yeah, if you truly are repented or forgiven, you will have these fruits. You know, you'll have peace. You'll have contentment. You'll make peace with the past. You know, you'll be moving forward and you'll be comfortable with, you know, this chapter of your life, right? So, like, the only way for somebody who offended somebody, the only way for somebody who has hurt other people to be truly remorseful is and truly have peace and content and make peace with the past and all those things and move forward is if you do these things, right? Like, it looks a certain way. It's so different than how you used to operate, so contrary to how you used to operate. And if you don't operate differently than how you did operate, it's like insanity. That quote with insanity.
Doing the same thing over and expecting a different result.
Yeah. So, like, we have to change. Like, that's what repentance is. So basically, this video just talked about turn into repentance. It's a turn about, a turn around. It's acting differently. It's turn away from your old way of living. So, like, this is how you show other people that you're sorry. Like, we've been really honing in on that, right? So the question is, which one will you choose? Will you choose, like, I'm going to hurt myself, you know, I'm going to suffer, you know, so penance, basically, whatever that means, if you know anything about that. So, like, is that a form of payment that you're going to do on a day-to-day basis? So what does that look like? That means cursing yourself. That means, you know, having hatred towards yourself. That means being hostile towards yourself. Like, is that the solution? No, like, God doesn't want you to operate like that. He wants you to be in a place of love, happiness, joy, mercy, grace, humility. Let me show this real quick. Again, me and Justin, we've been doing this a long time, man. Like, just go to my YouTube channel, Upload Past Crossroads, right? All right, so let me just go ahead and show you guys. You know, this is my social media pages. Make sure to check them out. I got the best social media pages ever, right? On my YouTube channel, Upload Past Crossroads, me and Justin do a lot of videos. So one of the videos that we did was derived from this sermonette that I did for board examiners in the African Methodist Episcopal Church in the 13th District. All right. And this sermon was titled, you know, Let It Go and Pick Up What Jesus Died on the Cross for You For. So every single day, guys, you get a choice as to which God you will serve. You get a choice as to what you will accept with your life today. So will you accept condemnation or will you accept Jesus? Because that's the only two choices you get on a day-to-day basis. You get a choice to choose blessings or you get a choice to choose curses. Which one will you choose? So these are curses. You know, this is operating in the flesh. Will you choose death, curses, hatred, resentment, anger, hostility, bitterness, depression, shame, guilt? You guys get it. Read it all. All right. Or will you choose Jesus? You know, happiness, joy, you know, peace, tranquility, restfulness, calmness, love, true satisfaction, true contentment. I keep on going, guys. So which one will you choose? Because a lot of people are operating from a hurt place. They're operating from a place of not peace, right? Of not contentment. And, like, how do you show that you're really remorseful? Let me go back to these quotes, man, that the writer, this Arthur said, man, this book is so powerful. This is just two pages, guys. It's a, 250-page book, man. This book is huge, man. And this is only page 84. So, like, I marked this up a lot. But here goes some of the stuff that Matthew Ishihashi Potts said. He said, repentance exposes to God's sight the truth of the sinner himself. I'm going to stop there. Repentance, man. So what you do outwardly. So a lot of people don't tie in repentance with action. But that's what it is. You can't say you're sorry if your actions doesn't say that. So that's what the Bible says. It says, you shall know them by their fruit. And it says that, be a doer of the word, not just a hearer, right? That's what repentance is. It exposes to God's sight the truth of a sinner. Don't say you're sorry. Don't say you're sorry if your actions don't line up with it. And this ain't just for people who did a heinous offenses to people. No, this is for all of us, right? So the sincerity of his feelings, the authenticity of his remorse, the reality of his intention to not sin again. This is what repentance is. This is how you know you are truly apologetic about what you have done to other people. Justin, stop me when you're ready to say something, man. I know you.
I really like that lot. Yeah, I will jump in real fast since you had that. I really like that that last part. The reality of his intention not to sin again. Mm-hmm. Man, I feel like that cuts deep, because when you think of when we sin, like we are going from penitence to repentance. When we sin, like, or we wrong somebody, it's not just the other person that we've wronged, but we're also wronging God, because we've turned away from the way that God wants us to live, or we've turned away from God's instructions. And the Bible is very clear that there's no making up for that. Like, the cost of sin is death, as it says in Romans 6:23, I think. Oh, for the wages of sin is death. So there's no making up for that. Like, what we can do, like, there's no punishment that will make up for that except hell at the end of our lives for all the sins racked up.
Right.
Because, like, that's the cost of turning away from God. But that last part, the reality of not sinning again, the intention of not sinning again, like, that's what God wants us to do. He not only wants us to stop the sin or stop what we did that wronged the other person, he wants us to have an intentionality to do better in the future. Like, we'll never be able to make up what we've done wrong in the past, but I feel like this is the first step towards, like, repentance or redemption, or, like, a better word, like, that's the first step to atonement. It's like trying to leave it better than you found it, trying to improve the conditions that you hurt in the past, trying to improve the relationship that you hurt by committing a sin against somebody. So yeah, that last part just hits hard. I really like that.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to another part, Justin. It says that this inward state can be outwardly performed. It cannot be manifestly revealed. So, like, we want to know if somebody's sorry, but you will never truly know. Unless their actions say it. That's the thing about this life. That's this world order. Like, everybody talks a good game, but do you walk it? You say you have a dream, but what are you doing to reach your dream? Because if you're not doing everything it takes to reach your dream, you don't want it. Don't say you want it, right? So this interior state can't be only outwardly performed. So if you're truly sorry in the inside, apologetic, all those things, remorseful, you have to truly feel it in the inside. Then you can express it outwardly. If you don't truly feel it on the inside, it cannot be manifested outwardly and revealed. So, Justin, you had anything with that part? That's what we should have did. Just broke it up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That might have been a little easier.
Hey,
yeah,
we got it.
I'm all over the place with this one. Yeah, I think people would see when you're very genuine with something. Like, it's a, gosh, the history of Christianity has always shown like people trying to do like actions or what did they do in the Catholic Church? They bought indulgences. So if they sinned against somebody, they would buy indulgences. And apparently like paying the church forgives your sins or something like that. So I definitely think like you need an inward change because people can sense that if you're genuine or not. Like if you're just trying to fake it or like, you can tell when a parent tells a five-year-old to like go say sorry, like you know they don't mean it. You can tell like in their actions, you can tell by the words that they don't really mean it. So they, but like we're still trying to teach kids like the proper action with the hopes that they understand what they did was wrong or they hope for like a change of heart. So that's why God is so intent on making sure that we have an inward change before we have like that outward change.
Ooh, no, that went to one of the last parts. Like, yeah. So that's this quote right here. Matthew Ishihashipot said, inward turmoil is proved by outward pain. Inward turmoil is proved by outward pain. So this quote right here is way more broad than the other ones that we did, right? Yeah. So there's two ways I see it. First of all, hurt people. I ain't going there yet. But another way is like just what we've been talking about, like inward turmoil. So turmoil is bitterness, resentment, like, you know, remorseful, you know, feeling like a failure, like, you know, living with regret. That's a turmoil. Like all those things, man, is proved by outward pain. So if you offended other people, if you hurted other people, man, your outward pain is going to be ridiculous. So basically, this is so powerful. Like in the Bible, what I'm really seeing and what's been a revelation since I've been in seminary, I've been getting, it's just confirmation really. But like outwardly, God is speaking. Outwardly, God is saying, you know, what's going on with you? A lot of times we're judging other people, but really we're judging ourselves through other people. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times, you know, we're saying how other people are operating or whatever, but we're really, it's just a mirror. That's all it is. It's a mirror telling you what's really going down with your heart. You know, the things that I judge other people for, I'm pretty sure Justin don't have a problem with. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not even crossing his mind because he don't struggle with the same things I struggle with, right? So, like, inward turmoil is proved by outward pain, right? And so hurt people. This is the biggest thing me and Justin are going to talk about. This series is about to be crazy when I talk about hurt people, right? Mm. And so, like I was saying, guys, which place are you going to operate from? Are you going to operate from a place of, let's just talk about the second slide that I didn't talk about. Are you going to operate from a place of unforgiveness, ungratefulness, unthankfulness, greed, self-seeking, hatred, you know, hostility? Like, are you going to operate from this place in the flesh? You know, in condemnation, that's what you're doing. You're condemning yourself. Or you're going to operate in a place of Jesus, right? In a place of the Spirit, in a place of love, you know, grace, mercy, forgiveness, gratefulness, thankfulness, loving others. See, this ties in with Romans 8, verse 1. Here goes the scripture verse, Justin. Like, it says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, right now, there is now, right now, no condemnation. Right now for those who are in Christ Jesus. So you, if you're in Christ Jesus, you get a choice every single day. Are you going to live in inward turmoil and outward turmoil? Because if you have inward turmoil, you're going to have outward turmoil. If you have outward turmoil, you're going to have inward turmoil, right? The two go hand in hand. Your life, your reality is showing what's going on with you, really, right? So if you want a new reality, you got to change. It starts with you. The buck starts with you. In your heart, you got to operate in a place of love, a place of peace, right? And so this is why Paul, we're talking about him today. I mean, the people probably didn't believe in him. People probably gave him a hard time. It even said that, I think in some of the cities he went to, he wrote it. He said, some people gave me a hard time and I preached here and here and here. He even said it, right? But still, and in the end, we now see him as remorseful. We don't even see him as the murdering Christian, Paul. I mean, Saul. We see him as Paul. We know him as Paul, right? So, like, man, which one are you going to operate today? Like, God can do a real number in your life and for your life right now. if you're truly repentant on a day-to-day basis and you show it. Like, because in the long run, man, your legend, like, your story, everybody's going to know how remorseful and repentant you were by your actions. Actions speak louder than words. Everybody's talking a good game. The people who are condemning you saying, hey, man, you ain't repentant. Hey, man, you ain't remorseful. Shut up, Paul. You still killing Christians, even though he ain't killing Christians since Damascus Road, since Jesus saved him. Paul just, you know what? It's all right. I'm going to keep on serving the Lord. I'm going to keep on showing the love of God. I'm going to keep on showing grace. I'm going to keep on showing mercy, even to the people who give me a hard time. Because hurt people hurt people. They just hurt. That's all it is. You know, I'm not going to operate in a place of hurt like them. Right? And that's the choice you get, guys. You can operate from a place of hurt like everybody else, because outward pain can lead to inward pain. But as Christians, we can't allow the outward pain to come inside of us, to come inside our ship, or our ship will sink. Man, okay, I'm done. Just go ahead, man.
I'm actually going to go in a different direction. Normally, I piggyback on what you say, but I'm actually going to disagree with, like, the comment that he had. Could you pull up that quote real fast, the last one?
Yeah, yeah. And we're turmoil?
Yeah, because we talked a little bit about this before the video, too. And in the context of the book, and I guess we don't have time to look at the book, he uses this phrase because I think he's trying to say, in order to show that we have regret for our actions, the inward turmoil, we should take on a physical pain or physical punishment. So that's what it's saying, like inward turmoil, like how much we regret is proved by physical pain. And I don't think I agree with that part. I like the direction Sean was going with, yeah, on the hurt people, because man, that's definitely true. And like, man, we definitely need to do a video on that. But I don't agree with what Ichihashi was saying in this, because that kind of goes against what Sean and I were saying before of like a change in heart, a change in your actions is what shows the sincerity and the genuineness of your forgiveness or your repentance or like your regret in wronging somebody. I will say, I do want to say though, When you try to earn someone's forgiveness, you do have to, I think you do have to make sacrifices. You have to earn their trust back. Like, it shouldn't just happen. And that's something he goes really well at the beginning of his book, is by saying, like, forgiveness is not just one simple action. It is a process. The person trying to earn the trust back as well needs to, like, earn that trust back. So it is a process. So I would almost rephrase what he says of like inner turmoil is proven by the willingness to endure like that, endure pain.
Right.
I don't think it's a requirement, but I think in order to earn that trust back, they should have the ability to endure that. If that makes more sense. Because if you make it a requirement, then that kind of flies in the face of what Sean and I have been saying, like you have to have an inward change first and foremost. But if the time calls for it where you need to prove yourself, man, like every movie where like somebody wrongs somebody, they have to prove themselves. They have to like save their lives or jump in front of a bullet or something like that. They don't have to do that to earn it, but they should be willing to endure that. And like, that's what makes you cheer for them in the movies, right? So I don't agree with where Ichihashi, was his name, was going with, but I see where, I kind of agree where he was going too. I would just tweak that a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like we don't need to go out of our way to punish ourselves. I think we should, but we should have a better capacity to try to sacrifice ourselves for other people. Man, that's the definition of love right there, is like a willingness to sacrifice.
And that's how I took it. I know you know the
direction. There are different ways to read that too. Yeah. I don't think either of us was wrong. I think it's just a perspective thing.
And I only saw it like that because of this next part. Like, inward turmoil is proved to be outward pain, right? He went on to say, the more one is willing to suffer. Right. So I took that as the more someone is willing to, you know, do everything it takes to show others that I apologize. Like, I was wrong. Like, you know, I'm repentant of my sins. Like, I'm a new creation. I'm a new man. Like, so I'm going to do everything it takes to show the love of God. So I'm going to suffer. Right. So like, man tries to put their own suffering on things. Think that's the answer. No. So repentance, that thing, like, no, you don't do that. You know why? Because life's already hard enough. Jesus even said, in the world, you will be persecuted, but be a good cheer. I've overcome the world. And this is what he's talking about. Like, you're going to be persecuted. So like, suffering, God is speaking. He's basically, you know, if you wrong somebody, I mean, all of us are wrong. We're suffering for a reason. There's got to be some type of penance, right? Like, if you want to say penance exists or whatever, right? So like, there's punishment for sins. The wages of sin is death. So we got to get punished in some kind of way. Like, you know, nobody can say nobody's getting punished. Life's hard, right? So like, through our suffering, right, we show God that we're repentant and sincere through our actions. So the more one, oh, dang it. Okay, my monitor went off. But anyways, the more one is willing to suffer, the more sincere one's repentance probably is, right? That is so powerful. Mm-hmm. Like, so the example is Paul. Again, what we've been saying through the whole video, man, we knew Paul was sincere because he didn't stop. He kept on doing it. This is the life of a true believer, of a true child of God, man. Let me go to the next part. And Justin, you can stop me when you're ready. But the last quote I have was, authentic inward repentance is a secret. So inward repentance is a secret. Our publicly embodied proof must therefore speak boldly and with conviction. We have to, what we believe is a conviction, right? It's our truth. It's truth. It's only truth if your actions line up with it. If what you say is proved publicly to everybody, not just to yourself. And that's a lot of what a lot of people think the Christian life is. Like, if I believe it, and long as I believe it, that's all that matters. It don't matter what I do. That's not the Christian life. This is literally what this is talking about. This is how you show others that you're sorry, but no, forget that. This is how you show God that you're sorry. Through your day-to-day basis, you try to prove to him the conviction of your heart of, I love him. I love you. And no matter what way I got to suffer in this world. So for Paul had to suffer through, obviously, you know, everybody, all the Christians thinking, you know, he wasn't a devout Christian. Like, he was playing a game and he was just going to kill him in the long run. Like, like, he was playing a long run game and he's just trying to get close to you to figure out everybody. Now he's going to kill y'all all in one swoop. No, Paul wasn't doing that. Like, he was really convicted and really truthful about what he sincerely believed, which was God, Jesus, what they believed. So it wasn't a secret any longer. He made it obvious through his writings, through what we have today. His life was a living proof. This is the true life of a believer, man. We got to be operating the same way. Like, it's not even just if you're truly repentant of your sins or all that stuff. This is the life of a believer. Like, you're about that life. This is what this saying, like, the actions in, you know, the proof's in the pudding. Like, I can keep on going. You guys get what I'm saying. Justin, go ahead, man. I'll let you end it, man.
Yeah. Can you pull up that last slide, though?
Yeah, the very last one. No, you're good, man. Go ahead.
I do like, yeah, man, that first part I really like. Authentic inward repentance is a secret, though, because that goes back to the beginning. And again, I've only read like 4 pages of the book, but I keep repeating the same thing. The beginning of the book was saying, like a lot of times forgiveness or repentance can just be a way to like pat ourselves on the back or like show to people, hey, I'm still righteous, I'm still good. But like, if you're doing it in secret, it's kind of like why like Jesus told his followers to pray in secret, because he didn't want the intentions of prayer to be all about showing off how much you pray. He wanted it to be a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. So, or not to let anyone know that they were fasting, because he wanted the people to have the real spiritual experience, not just to do it for the people. So I do like that this quote, it goes back to what he's saying, like, it avoids the pitfall of forgiving or repenting just to make yourself feel good. So I like that it's saying like our actions have to be bold. Like I went through one of our church services not long ago was like, be humble but be bold. And like I like how the Bible is always, it seems to have these contradictions with itself, but really it's like a balance in life. You do want to be humble in the way that you put others first, but you're bold as well in that you don't let your morals get stepped on, or you don't like get pushed aside. So this is kind of the same thing as well. Like you repent in secret, but your actions are bold then. Your change in your heart are bold. Like people will see that. Like people will see the actions. They don't see you like making apology videos or like making big displays of repentance or anything. They see your changing. They see a new you. They see a changing character. And like that's what's the important part.
Yeah. Man, that's deep, man. I'm done. Yeah. You like the video? I liked it, man. Like this.
Oh yeah, I did too. Oh man, I feel like I had a rough start. I feel like I was everywhere.
Nah, it was me. Cause like I just should have thought to do the quotes, man. Like Sean, just write the quote in the
That did help. I never noticed how much I depended on your PowerPoints, I guess.
Right.
They really do give me direction. Like sometimes I know what I want to say, but your PowerPoint definitely gives me direction.
Yeah, it helps you think about what you wrote and stuff.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah.
Right. Now we gotta read, man. There's two books. This one and then Hurt People Hurt People. I just got that book. So yeah, and actually a third book because I gotta do that for class. But I'll tell you that in a minute. All right. All right, guys. But you know the drill, man. Me and Justin, we were at it again. We were doing basically a book review on this guy right here, Matthew Ishihashi Potts. Forgiveness and alternate account. You guys should get the book, and maybe if you want to do a video with me and Justin too, maybe you can, you know, who knows. All right, but yeah, so as you guys know, I got a lot of social media pages. I post on them all the time. I love social media. All right, so my Tumblr page, you can't see the T, but it's Tumblr. It's Trouble Don't Last number one. My Instagram page, _Dan_Bob, my other Instagram page, Trouble Don't Last, my main one. Right, so I'm also on Twitter, X, you know, whatever you want to call it, Snap, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, so it's Trouble Don't Last. My Facebook link to page, Sean Christopher Jenkins, my YouTube channel and podcast, Upload Past Crossroads on every podcast platform you can think of. And me and Justin, we do videos all the time. If you go to my YouTube channel, Upload Past Crossroads, if you scroll down, you can see a section called Our Podcast. This is where I have all the people who do YouTube videos with me. So I got Maya right here, my fiance, my most beautiful woman in the whole entire world, most beautiful woman that ever exists. All right. Then I got Justin Lee Howell, my brother right here. So we got a lot of videos we did together. So go right here and check out this playlist to watch all the videos that me and Justin have done together. And if you really enjoyed listening to Justin, go to his YouTube channel, Chaplain's Log. You can see our videos on here as well. But then also you can see videos that Justin has done himself, right, with his ministries and stuff like that. So check out Chaplain's Logs. Make sure when you go to our YouTube channel to subscribe, turn on the post notifications. So click the bell after you subscribe. And then you're notified whenever we upload another video, and then make sure to like, comment, and share all our videos. If you don't do those things, our pages will not grow, and you're hurting us and all those things. Then also go to Justin's Facebook page, Justin Lee Howell. Oh, I don't have him pulled up. Let me look him up real quick, Justin Lee Howell. So go to his Facebook page. Befriend him on here as well, right? This is when we were at his your marketing glasses for All right, but anyways, we'll talk about that.
Those are some Jeffrey Dahmer glasses right there. Grandfather's glasses that I wear.
Who told you that? Because, okay, I'm going to wait. I'm not going to say it on video. All right, but anyways, this was during Justin's bachelor party when a bear literally ate our food and was on our porch of the Airbnb we were staying at, in the cabin. So it was crazy. But yeah.
I wanted you to come out to take a picture with us, but he said, oh, I'm not wearing the right shirt or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I just was out there.
Got good for your followers.
Right.
Appreciate that. This man takes a lot of effort for his videos.
Right. All right. Yeah. Anyways, guys, you know the drill. All right. So I got a playlist titled Forgive Them, Bitterness, Resentment, Let It Go. Don't hold on to resentment. So if you're struggling with that, check out that playlist. All right. probably check out this one. Forgive yourself. Don't live in the past. You know, don't live with resentment, all those things. Check out this playlist. You can watch all the sermons, Bible studies, the other videos me and Justin did together on that topic. And then also the other topic, you know, confess your sins, repentance, all the sermons, Bible studies, again, all the videos I've done with Justin or Jerry or anybody like that, even probably with Maya in the future, stuff like that, right? And then this is just talking about God's forgiveness, so forgiveness, God forgives all, no sin's too great, you know, no sin's unpardonable. All right, check out this playlist. All right, so guys, you know the drill. I got a lot of playlists on any topic you can think of. Just go to my YouTube channel, search for it. All right, so that was me and Justin. We'll see you guys later. It is 9:17 p.m., so Justin got to go to work. And I got class tomorrow. I got to read, do a lot of reading.
Morning.
Oh my gosh. Okay, guys.
What's up? You know, I wake up. Yeah. You know, I work out early in the mornings now.
Right. He's consistent.
Don't get done any other days.
He's about to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger soon. All right. Me and Arnold Schwarzenegger will see you soon. Peace.